Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're going to crack open those age-old sayings that pack a punch of wisdom.
Proverbs.
Yes, Proverbs. We'll be exploring Dr. August Konkle's lecture on the book of Proverbs, and I can tell you, get ready for some moment.
That sounds good.
We're talking spilled milk, African wisdom, and even a peek into ancient Egypt, ready to unlock some serious wisdom.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think what's so captivating about Proverbs is they're not just dusty sayings from the past.
Right.
They're like these little time capsules of human experience.
I love that. Time capsules of human experience. So let's start with the basics. What is wisdom? Dr. Konkle uses a great example. Don't cry over spilled milk.
Oh, yeah.
Simple, right? But it speaks to something deeper.
It does. He points out that this proverb, like so many others, exists in various forms across cultures, and it highlights the essence of practical wisdom.
Okay.
Learning from experience and moving forward.
So not dwelling on the past.
Right, but using those experiences to inform our present and future.
It's like that saying, turn your wounds into wisdom. Right.
Exactly. And Dr. Konkle shares some fascinating African proverbs that really drive this point home. One that struck me was, only a fool tests the depth of a river with both feet.
Ooh, that's a good one. I'm definitely taking notes. It's a reminder to be cautious, to think before we leap.
Right. And there's another one. Knowledge is like the garden. If it is not cultivated, it cannot be harvested. It speaks to the fact that wisdom isn't something we just, you know, stumble upon. It requires effort,
yeah,
cultivation, and a willingness to learn and grow.
So it's not just about being smart. It's about actively seeking wisdom, tending to that inner garden, so to speak.
Precisely. And this brings us to the Hebrew word for wisdom, chokmah. Dr. Konkle emphasizes that it goes beyond just making good decisions or possessing knowledge.
So what makes chokmah different from just being intelligent or knowledgeable?
It's about aligning your life with a deeper understanding of the world, your place in it, and ultimately a recognition of something larger than yourself. It's a holistic approach to life that encompasses thought, action, and purpose.
That's where the idea of the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom comes in, right? That always felt a bit intimidating to me.
It's a phrase that often gets misinterpreted. It's not about cowering in fear. Think of it more as a deep respect, a sense of awe for the divine order of the universe. You know, recognizing that there are forces and principles at play that are beyond our comprehension and acknowledging our place within that larger scheme.
That makes so much more sense. It's about humility, recognizing that we don't have all the answers.
Exactly. And this understanding sets the stage for exploring the unique wisdom we find in the book of Proverbs. Dr. Konkle points out that it differs from other wisdom literature in the Bible, like Ecclesiastes and Job, which grapple with deeper, more existential questions, you know, about the meaning of life and suffering.
So Proverbs is more like a practical guide for daily living, whereas Ecclesiastes and Job delve into the heavier stuff.
That's a great way to put it. Proverbs offers practical wisdom for navigating everyday challenges and building a virtuous life, while Ecclesiastes and Job, they invite us to confront those mysteries of existence.
Okay.
And the limits of human understanding.
So they offer different lenses through which to view the world and our place in it.
Fascinating. Okay, we've laid some groundwork here, but what about those nuggets of wisdom themselves, the Proverbs? What makes them so powerful and enduring?
Well, first we need to understand that the Hebrew word, often translated as proverb, mashal, actually encompasses a wider range of literary forms.
Really?
Including metaphors, similes, parables, and even poems.
So it's not just about those pithy sayings we often think of?
Right. It's a much more expansive concept. Think about Jesus' saying, physician, heal thyself, or no prophet is accepted in his own country. Those are both forms of mashal. And then you have those powerful parables.
Right.
Like the mustard seed and the prodigal son. Those are definitely memorable. So the use of imagery and storytelling is a key element of mashal. What's the impact of that, would you say?
Well, metaphors and parables work on multiple levels. They're engaging, they stick in our minds, and they invite us to think beyond the literal meaning. They help us grasp complex truths in a way that resonates.
Okay.
On an emotional and intuitive level.
That reminds me of those classic English proverbs we all know. If it ain't broke, don't fix it, for example. It's so simple, yet it speaks volumes about avoiding unnecessary complications.
Exactly. Proverbs often employ those kinds of memorable techniques like assonance and ambiguity. They're catchy, thought-provoking, and they pack a punch of wisdom into a few short words.
It's amazing how something so concise can be so profound. But you also mentioned ambiguity. Doesn't that make Proverbs open to interpretation?
Absolutely, and that's where the importance of context comes in. Dr. Konkol emphasizes that Proverbs aren't meant to be applied universally or taken literally. They require careful interpretation and consideration of the specific situation.
So a proverb that holds true in one context might not be applicable in another.
Exactly. Think about proverbs that seem contradictory, like distance makes the heart grow fonder versus out of sight, out of mind. Both can be true depending on the circumstances.
That's a great point. It's not about blindly following proverbs, but understanding their nuances and applying them wisely. Dr. Konkol actually shares a fascinating example from Ecclesiastes 7.1 in Hebrew.
Oh.
To illustrate this very point.
Yes. He reads it aloud first, letting us hear the sounds of the original Hebrew.
Oh, yeah.
Then he translates it, explaining its deeper meaning. He highlights the importance of legacy and reputation, saying that a good name is more valuable than material possessions.
Interesting. He's saying that the day of someone's death is more significant than their birth.
Yes, because it marks the completion of a life well lived. It's about the impact we leave on the world and the memories we leave behind. And this ties back to the idea of chokmah.
Okay.
Wisdom is about living a life that aligns with a higher purpose, something that transcends our individual existence.
I'm starting to see how these seemingly simple sayings can actually be quite layered and complex. Now, before we dive deeper into the specific proverbs within the book, can you give us a quick overview of its structure?
Sure.
Dr. Konkol outlines it in his lecture.
He breaks it down into four main sections. We start with purpose statements at the beginning.
Okay.
Laying out the goals and benefits of studying wisdom. Then we have a section focused on the instruction of wisdom, primarily in the first 9 chapters.
And that's where we encounter Lady Wisdom, right? Calling out from the towers and preparing that amazing banquet.
Exactly. Those chapters are rich with allegorical figures and fatherly instructions guiding us towards a virtuous life. Then we move into the heart of the book, collections of proverbs attributed to Solomon and other wise individuals. And finally, there's an appendix with additional wisdom sayings.
Wow, so we have a roadmap for our exploration. But before we move on to the next section, what's something that stood out to you personally from Dr. Konkol's lecture so far?
Honestly, it's the way he highlighted the universality of proverbs. They truly transcend cultures and time periods. You know, it's fascinating to see how these sayings from ancient times still resonate with us today, speaking to something fundamental about the human experience.
I agree. And I'm also intrigued by the idea that wisdom isn't just about making smart choices, but about cultivating a certain way of being in the world. This idea of chokmah is really sticking with me.
Me too. It's about aligning ourselves with a deeper understanding of the universe and our place within it. And that's a journey worth taking.
It really does feel like there's this deeper current running through all these proverbs, connecting us to something bigger. Speaking of connections, Dr. Konkol mentions a fascinating link between the Book of Proverbs and an ancient Egyptian text.
Yeah, the teaching of Amadamopi.
What's the story there?
Well, it's this Egyptian wisdom text, and it has some striking similarities to certain proverbs in the Bible.
Hmm.
It's led some scholars to think there might be a historical connection.
Oh, really?
Yeah, between the two traditions.
So could wisdom have actually traveled across cultures, shaping different literary traditions? That's mind-blowing.
It is, and it really speaks to this idea of a universal human quest for wisdom. It makes you wonder how different cultures might have influenced and shaped each other's understanding of what it means to live a wise life.
It makes you think about those shared human experiences that transcend time and place. We might be separated by centuries and continents, but there's something about these fundamental truths that resonates across those boundaries.
Exactly. And I think that's part of what makes Proverbs so enduring. They tap into something deep within us.
Yeah.
Something that recognizes truth, regardless of where or when it originated.
Speaking of enduring truths, I'm curious about how we actually use these tools of wisdom. How do we apply these ancient proverbs to our modern lives?
That's where the real work begins, right? It's not just about memorizing a bunch of sayings. It's about engaging with them thoughtfully, understanding their nuances, figuring out how they speak to our own unique circumstances.
So it's about taking those time capsules of wisdom and figuring out what treasures they hold for us today.
Exactly. And Dr. Konkol encourages us to pay attention to the specific wording, you know, to unpack the deeper meanings behind the metaphors and imagery. It's like peeling back the layers of an onion. There's always more to discover.
He also delves into different types of wisdom, doesn't he? He mentions didactic wisdom and critical wisdom.
Yeah.
What's the distinction there?
Well, didactic wisdom is more instruction. It's about teaching us the right way to live, the path of virtue. Mm-hmm. It's like a guidebook for making good choices and living a righteous life. And we see this a lot in the first 9 chapters of Proverbs.
Okay.
With those fatherly instructions and Lady Wisdom's teaching.
So it's more about learning the rules of the game, so to speak, whereas critical wisdom is something different.
Right. Critical wisdom is more reflective and philosophical. You know, it grapples with those big existential questions about the meaning of life, the nature of suffering, and the limits of human knowledge.
And that's where books like Ecclesiastes and Job come in, right? They're not afraid to ask the tough questions.
Exactly. They push us to go beyond the surface and wrestle with the complexities of life. So you have these two strands of wisdom running through the Bible.
Okay.
Offering both practical guidance for daily living.
Yeah.
And profound insights into the human condition.
So it's like we have this toolkit of wisdom with different tools for different purposes.
I like that analogy. And it's up to us to figure out which tools are best suited for the challenges we face in our own lives.
Now let's shift gears ago and talk about the power of Proverbs. Why do they resonate so deeply with us? What makes them so memorable and effective?
Well, Dr. Conkle highlights a few key factors. First, there's their brevity and conciseness. They're easy to remember and share, like little nuggets of wisdom that you can carry with you.
They're like those perfectly sized snacks for the mind, right? Just enough to give you a boost of insight.
Exactly. And second, there's their use of figurative language. Those metaphors, similes, and analogies create vivid images that stick in our minds.
It goes back to that idea of Machel, right? It's not just about stating facts.
Right.
It's about using language creatively to convey deeper meaning.
Precisely. And third, Proverbs often tap into those universal truths about human nature and the human experience. They offer insights into the complexities of relationship,
okay,
the challenges of success and failure, and the search for meaning and purpose.
So even though they originated centuries ago, they still speak to us today because they address those fundamental aspects of what it means to be human.
Exactly. And I think that's why they continue to be relevant and meaningful.
Yeah.
Even in our modern world, they offer a timeless perspective on the enduring challenges and joys of being alive.
Okay, so we've explored this idea of Machel, the different types of wisdom, and why Proverbs have such staying power. Now let's get back to the book of Proverbs itself. Can you remind us of the structure that Dr. Conkle outlines in his lecture?
Of course. He breaks it down into 4 main sections: purpose statements, instruction of wisdom, collections of proverbs, and an appendix. The purpose statements at the beginning, they're like a preface. They set the stage by explaining the goals and benefits of seeking wisdom.
So it's like they're giving us the why behind the what.
Exactly. Then we move into the instruction of wisdom, which is primarily found in those first 9 chapters.
Right.
It's where we encounter Lady Wisdom and those fatherly instructions guiding us towards a virtuous life.
Those chapters feel so rich with imagery and allegory. They really paint a picture of what it means to live wisely.
They do. And then we get to the heart of the book, the collections of Proverbs.
Mm-hmm.
Many of these are attributed to Solomon.
Right.
But there are others attributed to different wise individuals as well. They cover a wide range of topics, offering insights into everything from relationships and work to finances and spirituality.
It's like a treasure chest full of wisdom nuggets. Each proverb offers a glimpse into the complexities of life and how to navigate them.
Exactly. And finally, we have the appendix, which contains additional wisdom sayings. It's like a little bonus section to round out the collection.
So we've got our roadmap, and now it's time to start exploring those individual proverbs. But before we do, I'm curious, is there anything else that really stood out to you from Dr. Conkle's lecture?
You know, what I find fascinating is this point about the importance of understanding the context of these proverbs. You know, we can't just take them at face value or apply them blindly to every situation.
Right. We can't just cherry pick the proverbs that fit our own opinions or agendas.
Exactly. We need to be mindful of the cultural and historical context in which they were written.
Mm-hmm.
It's about understanding the world they came from and the values they reflect.
It's like taking a journey back in time to understand the wisdom of our ancestors, seeing the world through their eyes.
I like that. And in doing so, we might just discover some surprising insights that are still relevant to our own lives today.
Yeah, it's like these proverbs are bridges connecting us to the past, helping us understand the continuity of human experience.
Right.
And that makes me think about something Dr. Conkle mentioned towards the end of his lecture.
Okay.
He talks about how proverbs often reflect an order that can't be easily altered, particularly in social relationships. What do you think he means by that?
It's an intriguing point, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think he's getting at those timeless truths about human nature, you know, and the dynamics of relationships that Proverbs so often capture.
Right.
You know, there are certain patterns of behavior.
Yeah.
Certain ways we interact with each other that seem to hold true across cultures and throughout history.
So even though societies change and evolve, there's something fundamental about human relationships that remains constant.
That's what he seems to be suggesting.
Okay.
And Proverbs, with their keen observations and pithy insights, they can help us recognize and understand these enduring patterns.
Yeah.
You know, they offer a window into the complexities of love, friendship, family, and even conflict.
It makes you wonder, are there any modern proverbs emerging that reflect the unique challenges and complexities of our time?
That's a great question. I think we see new sayings and aphorisms popping up all the time,
yeah.
Especially online.
Right.
You know those little nuggets of wisdom that capture the zeitgeist of our digital age?
Oh, absolutely. Like, don't feed the trolls, or comparison is the thief of joy. Those feel very relevant to our current experience.
Exactly. But whether those sayings have the same staying power as those ancient proverbs remains to be seen.
Right.
You know, it takes time for those sayings to be tested and refined to prove their worth and earn a place in our collective wisdom.
Right. It's like they have to go through a process of cultural distillation. Only the most potent and insightful sayings survive the test of time.
And that's what makes this deep dive into Proverbs so fascinating. We're exploring a tradition of wisdom that has stood the test of time, offering insights that continue to resonate with us today.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into the world of Proverbs, what's the key takeaway you want to leave our listener with?
I think Dr. Conkle sums it up beautifully when he says that societal order can't be easily altered.
Okay.
There are certain fundamental truths about human nature and relationships that Proverbs capture so eloquently. I would encourage our listener to reflect on the Proverbs they know and consider what they reveal about the unchanging aspects of the human experience.
What a fantastic challenge to look beyond the surface of these sayings and uncover the deeper truths they hold about ourselves and the world around us. And of course, we encourage you to continue exploring the world of Proverbs on your own. There's a wealth of wisdom waiting to be discovered in those time-tested sayings.
Happy exploring!
Until next time, keep seeking knowledge and embracing those aha moments.